UK, and we're joined by James Purnell, the BBC's Director of Radio and Education. Is this a bad day for the BBC?
No, I mean, this is a day in which people will see the balance that we're trying to strike. You know, we want to make world-class programmes. We need, therefore, world-class talent, but not at any price. And what we're disclosing today, along with the names, is the fact that we've cut the talent bill by 25% in the last 5 years, down by 10% in the last year. And that is in a market where there's increasing competition from Netflix, from Audible, from Amazon, from Apple. You know, every week we've got people being poached from the BBC for 2, 3, 4 times as much as they're being paid at the moment. So, yes, we have to be responsible with public money. We are. But we also have to pay enough to get the best stars on the BBC, but not at any price. We always try and get a discount to the market.
The story that's running highest on the BBC website is Chris Evans's salary, so I'm going to start with that. He's paid between 2.2 million and 2.25 million. Is that nearly all for Radio 2?
It's a mixture of Top Gear and Radio 2.
What, 50-50 or 90-10? Or?
Look, we're disclosing far more information today than any other broadcaster in the world. I'm not going to start going into further detail because this is genuinely a boon for our competitors. You know, we're getting to the point where we've got to send people the sort of detailed contract so they can work out how they can poach our staff. So we've declared what we've declared today.
But the Top Gear was mainly BBC World, which is actually commercial and therefore isn't part of this, I understand. I'm just wondering how you justify the fact that Chris Evans seems to be paid nearly 10 times as much as the presenter who follows him, Ken Bruce.
Chris Evans is probably the outstanding radio talent of his generation. He's on the most popular breakfast show on the most popular radio station in Europe. And if you rounded up all of Chris's listeners and asked him to pay for his show for a week, it would be less than 1 pence each.
How much would it be for Ken's, I wonder, because he's got 8.3 million.
I think for Ken it'd be 0.1p. So,
okay.
So you know, this is...
I'm just wondering if Ken should be knocking on your door and asking for it to be at least doubled.
Look, we're not going to go into individual people's pay today.
Well, we have to. That's the whole point of this, isn't it?
Not in terms of, you know, their different contracts and what's going to happen in the future. That's exactly why we didn't want this. We think it's going to make it harder to manage the BBC, that it's going to put pressure on salaries for those to go up, that it will help our competitors who are already trying to poach our talent the whole time. But, you know, it's happened. We have to manage it as well as we can.
And just on, while we're, as it were, in the family here on Radio 2, Steve Wright paid more than Ken Bruce. Why is that?
Steve Wright, look, this is the problem of comparing these things. Steve Wright does different things to Ken. So he obviously does a Sunday show as well. And, you know, Steve Wright is 0.1p per person per week. It's an absolutely brilliant show. All the shows on Radio 2 during the day are wonderful. And this is a fantastic radio station. Are we going to pay the right amount to get brilliant DJs? Absolutely. Is it going to be as much as people would get elsewhere? No, it won't be.
I'm listed as having a salary of between £700,000 and £750,000. How do you justify that?
Same way, you know, you're a fantastic broadcaster, you know, you provide a huge public service. You know, let's take last few weeks, you've been talking about funeral care and how people are being ripped off for that. That is something that I'm proud to have on the BBC, proud to have in our country, and plays a vital role in our democracy. As you'll know better than anybody else, it includes eggheads, it includes a wide range of programmes. And I think the core point to make is, you know, there is a market for the Jeremy Vines. There's a market for John Humphreys. There's a market for Chris Evans. There's a market for the people at the BBC. And that is something that, you know, that is the reality. We're not operating in the same market as people who go and work for the civil service.
The whole aim of the government was to stop inflation by, I suppose it was to, if you like, shame people who are earning a lot of money. It may have the reverse effect. I'm just thinking, in this building, we have our brilliant sister station, Six Music. We discover today that the breakfast presenter, Sean Keaveney, is paid less than the mid-morning presenter, Lauren Laverne, for no obvious reason at all.
This is not the civil service. The people aren't in, you know, very strict pay bands. People bring different things to the BBC.
Just better agent?
We have a process which we go through rigorously every time. We take into account the job, but also what people bring to the BBC, their past history, what they could get elsewhere. And these salaries are reviewed on a very, very regular basis. So, you know, you can go mad comparing X and Y.
Cost per listener was the metric that you used just now for Chris's salary. So on a cost per listener basis, you'd have to bump Sean up above Lauren.
We're not going to get into that kind of
relativity. Well, that's not the explanation now.
No. So the cost per listener for both of them is under 1 pence a week.
Yeah.
But you will go mad if you start treating the BBC like the civil service. And if you do that, it won't be the BBC anymore.
Okay. Well, maybe the organisation is going a little bit mad today, but that wouldn't be surprising because it's under a lot of pressure. Let me ask you about the story that probably is bigger than the Chris dimension, and that is about women here. Now, are you concerned, James, because you're not just radio, you are senior BBC management, that this list shows that the BBC pays men more than women as a rule?
It shows we have to go further. But we have been transforming the BBC. You know, we have the most diverse workforce in the industry, more diverse than anyone that we can see in the FTSE 100. So we have been making significant progress. Of the people who've come on this list in the last 3 years, 60% are women. But have we got further to go at the top? Absolutely. And that's why we've said today, by 2020, we want to end the gender pay gap at the BBC. Next year, we will be seeing everybody who has a company of more than 250 people having to publish their gender pay gap. And it will be interesting to see how they compare to the BBC.
On the Today programme, we know that John Humphreys gets about 600,000 because that's been published. Sarah Montague, who also presents the Today programme, I thought on an equal basis, is not on the list at all. So she must be under 150. So he's getting possibly four times more than her.
Look, this is the difficulty of comparing people on this list, because
we've just got to say it's wrong, haven't we?
You would be wrong to say that the lowest paid person on the Today programme is a woman. Actually, it's a man, if you compare it on a like-for-like basis. You know, we're not going to go into further details.
Oh, come on, who is it then?
We're not going to go into sort of greater detail. But, you know, is John Humphreys the preeminent interviewer of his generation? Yes. He also does a whole range of other things. He does Mastermind. So it's very difficult to compare the two. Are we satisfied with the situation on gender pay today? No. We want to get to equality by 2020. I don't think there's any organisation in the country who's made that bolder commitment. It is going to be tough, but it's something that we've already been working on. So we had 14% of local radio breakfast presenters were women. That's now 50%. If you look in terms of the people from BAME backgrounds coming onto this list, 20% are from BAME backgrounds.
Ethnic minority, yeah.
On drama, it's already 50-50 between men and women. So where you can do it straight away, like drama, because you're always casting differently, we've got there. Where it's something which requires more creative, slow evolution, it will take us till 2020.
It's been suggested that if you said to the people on this list, look, you take a one-third pay cut this afternoon, and you come in tomorrow with a smile on your face, or we're going to take your staff pass away. Most of them would come into the office tomorrow.
Look, we do walk away from contracts sometimes. You know, we have had people leave, you know, not always for financial reasons, but that is sometimes part of it. We pay at a discount wherever we can, and we review these contracts on a regular basis, normally every one or two years. But do we want a BBC which is winning three quarters of the BAFTAs, winning eight Emmys, five Golden Globes? Yes. Do we want a BBC that's efficient? Yes. Have we saved £172 million extra last year? Yes. So this is an efficient, world-class organisation, and that's what we should be held to account for, the outcomes that we deliver.
Is it true that in the last few days some female presenters have been given amazing pay rises? Well, amazing may not be the word. They, in some cases, have been doubled. Is that true?
I'm not going to go into give a running commentary on people's salaries. But
has there been immediate action to try and reverse some of this?
News announced quite a long time ago, before any of this, that they were looking at that issue. And we've announced today that we're going to get to get rid of the gender pay gap. So you wouldn't be surprised if there's progress being made on that already.
Thank you very much. The BBC's Director of Radio and Education, James Purnell, talking about the pay levels that were announced today.